Everyone, good to see you all. I'd just like us to take a moment now just to again, I don't know if you know, but other side of the borders in Zimbabwe, you may have heard on the news or via a friend who lives in the country that things aren't good over there. And I think it would be great if we who live to freedom in South Africa can just pray some life and some hope and some encouragement and sisters living in Zim this morning. So let's pray. Father, we want to echo the words of the psalmist who says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? And my help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. Father, we know, we recognize we're living in a world which is so unpredictable. Nothing is reliable. We can't place our faith in governments and in politics and in human systems. But Father, I want to thank you so much this morning that you are the rock of ages. Lord, the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has come it. And so, Father, I pray this morning for Zimbabwe. Lord God, we bring that nation before you. We bring farmers doing business there and people, Lord, who are concerned about the economy and about the political instability. And Father, this morning from South Africa, we speak life to Zimbabwe. We send hope to Zimbabwe, Father. We pray for love and your grace and your mercy to be poured out upon that, Father. Lord, may the rains of revival, the spiritual revival, Lord, may it be birthed in the soil of Zimbabwe. May we see a church being raised up, Father, who would be the salt and light in that nation. Oh, Father, we declare that for our own country and for Zimbabwe, our hope and our faith and our trust and our confidence is in God. Lord, your grace is enough. And we pray for you and your hope and your salvation for the people of Zimbabwe. Father, for our own people here who are struggling, maybe those Father, like Charmaine and like Mike and like Bryn and like Patricia and many others who are going through the scourge of cancer and chemo, Father, we pray for your blessing upon them. Even this morning, Father, for your grace and your peace portion. And Father, for all of us, just give us wide open hearts this morning to encounter you and to recognize the majesty, the glory of Jesus Christ. And Father, thank you that we can commit this service, all that we are, all that we have, into your hands. In Jesus' grace. Amen. Well, folk, great to see you all. Welcome. What a beautiful day. We've been up since the crack of dawn and walked to the point and back. A nice prayer walk, which was lovely on a beautiful Sunday morning. And just as Kevin did mention in the announcements, Vintage Jesus start this coming Wednesday. There's around 120 people registered, which is a lot, but it's great. As I say in Ganubi, always room for one more. But don't forget to register, please. Don't pitch up on the night. I'd like you to register beforehand so we can prepare for you. And so if you haven't yet done so, there's a link available on the website or else at the back of the church you can sign up. But what a great way to launch the year, getting saturated in the work and the miracles of Jesus Christ. For those of you who would like prayer after the service, we've got a new venue for the prayer. So if you go back towards the entrance and you take a right past the sound desk, you'll get to a room over there and there'll be elders and leaders to pray for you, whatever your need may be. Maybe it's something in the family, maybe it's a physical need. Whatever your need may be, there are people there waiting and willing to pray for you. Make sure you choose the second door to the right because the first door is the photocopy room. That's not going to help anybody. So it's to the right there, past the sound desk, second door to the right. There'll be people there waiting and ready to pray with you. All right, I'm so excited because today we begin a brand new series of John. It's entitled New Life in Jesus, and it's a series totally focused on the life, the teachings, the miracles of Jesus Christ, this God-man whose life literally defines human history. It's going to be an amazing series, week after week, unpacking the life of Jesus. You're going to love it. It's been said that Jesus never went to college, Jesus never got a degree. He never wrote a book. He never got married. There's news. He never traveled far from home. Never had political office. His dad was a carpenter, his mother a teenager. He grew up in a dusty town in the middle of nowhere, yet more books have been written about him. More songs have been sung to him, more movies filmed about him, and more paintings have been painted of him than anyone else in history. More people follow him than any other person who has ever walked the earth. His name is Jesus Christ. And so, if you have your Bible with you, let's turn to the Gospel of John. Remember, John was a close friend of Jesus. He was an eyewitness of all that Jesus did and he said. So let's read what John writes about Jesus, John chapter 1, and just five verses to verse 5. I would encourage you just to hold on to your seats because these words are almost incredible to be believed. Really, they are that powerful. If you haven't heard them before, they're going to blow your mind. If you have heard them, well, I think the wonder of what John says will just be reinforced all over again. Here we go, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. We could just stop right there, man. Those words are mind-blowing. And it's my joy to unpack them for you this morning. Well, I think before we do that, let's just, as we launch the series, try and work, what was the purpose for John writing the book that he wrote? What goal did he have in mind for writing this book? And we find his goal in the last chapter, that's John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31, he outlines the reason that he wrote the book in the place. And this is what he says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written. In other words, the gospel has been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John's very clear. He's crystal clear. I've written this book with a twofold purpose in mind. Number one, my intention is that you come to a place where you believe, not actually but experientially, that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, Son of the living God. That's my intention, number one. Not a philosopher, a good moral teacher, but Christ of God. And number two, I want you to know, John says, that in Christ, life is found. What a great intention. What a great goal. Number one, believe experientially that Christ is God. He is Lord. He is King. And number two, that you might have life in His name. So, let's begin in verse 1, where John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and was God. So John's very clear as he launches the book. He wants us to know exactly, he wants us to be crystal clear in our mind as to exactly who Jesus is. And so he uses the word, capital W, did you notice that, to describe Jesus. He calls Jesus the Word, capital W. Now the most important thing, or at least one of the most important things you know about the Word is found in verse 14. Where John writes, the Word became flesh. In other words, the Word became a human, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Just a few weeks ago, you remembered, you were probably here, on the 25th of December, we celebrated the incarnation of Christ. We celebrated the fact that what John wrote about 10 years ago is a reality. That the unthinkable happened. God became a man. Jesus wasn't created, Jesus was incarnated. In other words, he pre-existed his earthly life. John says he was in the beginning with God. He wasn't created, he was incarnated. And so what John writes about reality, and we celebrated that on the 25th of December. As Christians, we hold to a beautiful doctrine, and it's called the Trinity. God in three persons. Don't get confused, we don't worship three gods. We worship God in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God in three persons, one God. And Jesus is the second person. Triune Christian Godhead. Now, look what Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 15. Paul writes that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's an amazing verse because that tells me that the Word, Jesus Christ, makes the invisible visible. So if you want to know what God is like, take a look at Jesus. That's a key statement. If you want to know what God values, if God thinks about life and about people, if you want to know things about brokenness and sickness and about money and relationships and all that comprises life, if you ever get confused what God thinks about these things, take a look at Jesus. Because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He manifests God to us in human form. Friedrich Brunner says this. He says, we know who God is and what God thinks and what God feels. In Jesus, God has spoken to us in the most human way possible. And the believing human has experienced great help ever since. So if you consider the first words of John's book, in the beginning was the Word. Now that should ring a bell. How the very first sentence of the Bible in Genesis 1 verse 1 begin? In the beginning, God created the heavens. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1 verse 1, beginning God. Coincidence? Oh no. No, no, no. John is saying in the beginning, in other words, before anything had been created or anything else existed, Jesus, the Word of God, was there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and here comes the bombshell. The Word was God. That's a game changer. John is saying, Jesus, the Word of God, is God. You worship Jesus Christ as God. Now, some of us need to get to the place that Thomas got to. Some of us this morning may be doubting that fact. Thomas, even though he walked with Jesus very closely, even though he saw many of the miracles did, he found it very hard to believe that this man, the son of a carpenter, Jesus, was God in the flesh. And maybe you there this morning as well. But everything changed for Thomas when he actually met Jesus face after the resurrection. And Jesus said, Thomas, put your hand on my hand. See my scars, the nail prints are here. See my side. Thomas said, forget about it. I don't need to touch you. He fell on his knees before the God-man Jesus Christ. And he uttered these words, Jesus, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God was Thomas's, and I pray it'll be yours as well. C.S. Lewis says this, you can shut him, Jesus, up for all. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about a great moral teacher. He has not left that open to us. Tend to. Well, it gets even more amazing in verse 3, because John says this, that all things were made through him. Who's him? Jesus. All things were made through Jesus. And with Jesus, nothing was made that has been made. Wow! In my Bible, I've got written next to that verse, wow! It blows my mind. Who made everything? The Word made everything. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. And John wants us to know that we were made. The Word was made by the Word of God, who is Jesus. Now, if you go back to the creation account in Genesis, we know that God created everything by what? By Word. You go and read over and over again. What does God say? Let there be light. Let there be. And God, by the power of his word, speaks you into existence everything that is creation. God, everything out of nothing by the power of his word. The word is Jesus. And so in the beginning, John says, in the beginning, the word, Jesus Christ, was an active interrupt of the whole creation experience. It's an amazing mystery that he's beginning for us. Colossians 1:16 takes it even a step further. This is real mind-blowing stuff. Colossians 1:16, for in him, him being Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. What a verse. If you heard for the first time this week, you've come to a great service. It's amazing, powerful truth you're hearing. One commentator used his imagination and put it this way. If you could get a microscope and see underneath everything in creation, you'd see this tiny inscription, made by JC. Made by Jesus Christ. Because Paul says, all things, even mosquitoes, even cockroaches, all things were by Jesus and for Jesus. And that includes you and me. Had you ever thought of that before? Maybe it's the first time you're hearing it this morning. That you, each one of you, was made by Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. And it's only in Jesus Christ that you find satisfaction. You see, you weren't designed to find that satisfaction in relationships, in money, in success, in power, or anything else the world can offer you, because those things didn't create you. You were made by Jesus and for Jesus. And it's only in Jesus that the deepest longings of your soul are satisfied. That's why Augustine puts it this way. Augustine says, you move us to delight in praising, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. How many of you experience that to be true? You spend years trying to find peace and that satisfaction elsewhere in the world, but in Jesus Christ you found all that you were looking for. C.S. Lewis says this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. Well, it gets better. John says, in him, in other words, in Jesus, life was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Remember John's purpose in writing the book? That we said in these words were written that you may know Jesus is the Christ and you may have what? Life in his name. So I don't know what your picture of Jesus has been over the course of your life, even as a church-going person. But I hope your picture isn't a little picture of a frowning, disappointed Jesus who looks at you and he somehow has this heart of disappointment that somehow you haven't lived up to his expectations. And you mental image of a frowning, disappointed, distant God who somehow wishes you had made more of a success of your life. No. Jesus, one of the titles I love most about the Bible, is he's called, and we'll see in a few weeks, Jesus, the friend of who? The friend of sinners. I hope that encourages somebody this. Jesus, the friend of sinners. Wow. Maybe you came into the building this morning for the first time in years thinking maybe God's forgotten about you. You are gone. You're too distant from God. Jesus says this morning, I want to be your friend. I'm a friend of sinners. Hebrews 4:15. For we have a high priest, referring to Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. Wow. I love that verse. That verse says that you and I have the potential to receive divine sympathy. It's one thing to receive human sympathy. Oh, I'm sorry to see what you're going through. I can see you've lost a loved one, or you've been diagnosed, or you've lost your job, or you're feeling discouraged, and a human being feels sorry. One thing. But the Bible says that the God of the universe, the God who made you, he understands your weakness. Those dark times you've been through, the dark moments of your life, and some of you are there right now, God has not distanced himself from you. Jesus, the friend of sinners, enters through that brokenness and darkness, and what does he bring? L-I-F, life. Ho-ho, my friends. This is the God worth serving. Life. Is that your view of God? Is that how you picture Jesus? A God who is a friend of sinners and a God who replaces death and brokenness. Life. Life. Frederick Brunner again puts it this way. This is the invitation from Jesus. He says, come into union with the Word who made you. You came from. Now please come back to him. The result of this union will be more than human existence. It will be life. Life. Finally, John in verse 5 writes this incredible statement. He says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. Do yourself a favor like I've done in my Bible and circle the S on the end of shines. It's not that the light shone 2,000 years ago and has been extinguished. No, it's a present, continuing reality. The light John spoke about continues to shine today. Ooh, the victory of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the life of Jesus continues to shine right now in Ganubi, in 2019, and it offers you hope and life and peace. And guess what? That will never, ever overcome it. 2,000 years ago, the darkness tried to extinguish this. They killed the Son of God. They spat on him, ridiculed him, they mocked him, they buried him. 2,000 years ago, the darkness tried to kill the light, but they failed then, and they will fail. The powers of darkness, clever philosophers, the world, nobody and nothing will ever extinguish the light of Jesus. It shone 2,000 years ago, and right now, and right here, it continues to shine, even in Ganubi. All right, some final thoughts as we wrap it up, and maybe you just want to bow your head as to you, and just give yourself a chance to think. Just some thoughts to ponder over as you think about these five verses of John. Remember, John says that you were made by Jesus and you were made for Jesus. Equal statement. And it's only in Jesus that you will find life and deep satisfaction. And maybe you can honestly evaluate your own heart. Is that really you? Has that been your experience? There may be some this morning who once experienced that. You did find life and satisfaction in Jesus. But for whatever reason, maybe the cares of this world or a sinful path you chose to walk, or a road of compromise has led you away from that place of intimacy and surrender. And my friend, my encouragement to you would be, come back. Don't wait another day trying to find satisfaction. Things that will never ultimately satisfy you. And so maybe someone this morning says, I want to come back. Realign my life, realign my priorities with the wonder and majesty of Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing to do. That may involve making some hard decisions. Maybe letting go of some things. Maybe letting go of some people, potentially. Today will be the turning point in your life as you come back to the one who made you. Made by Jesus and made for Jesus. Be someone here this morning who has never ever met Jesus. Maybe this morning you felt this strange stirring in your heart saying, wow, I would love to know to be in relationship with the one who made me. Well, the friend of sinners this morning extends his hand of grace to you, my friend. And won't you in your heart just pray after me? Lord Jesus, this morning I've recognized that you are the one who created me. You're the one who died. You're the one who died in my place and for my sins. You're the one who carried my guilt and my failure upon yourself. The price I should have paid, you paid in full. Thank you that your body was broken and your blood paid for me, Lord Jesus, that I could be reconciled to you. Thank you that you are alive, that the grave could not hold you. You have conquered the great enemies of sin and death and hell. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I want to just turn my back upon my sinful way of living. I want to say the things I've done and said that have been contrary to your will. And I surrender my heart to you today. Find life and satisfaction and peace and a brand new beginning in relationship with you. Friends, what a joy it's been to bring this word to you. It's only the first 5 verses of the book. There's still so much to come. And so may you leave this place this morning with your hearts bursting with joy. That the chaos of this world, the light of God continues to shine. You are made by Jesus and for Jesus. And may you go and live this week in the light of that reality for the glory and honor of His great name. Thank you, Father. We celebrate Jesus this morning. There is truly nobody like Him. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.